questions at all at this time.
Blog Talk Radio.
Bring all honor and glory and praises to the Most High, Yah, by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The question that I have is in Jeremiah, the 36th chapter. Jeremiah 36. And Jeremiah, the 36th chapter, in verse 6, it says, therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of Yah in the ears of the people in Yah's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Yehuda that come out of their cities. Now my question is, what exactly is the fasting day?
I'm not sure. It might be a day that they had proclaimed a fast as a result of going on with them in Babylon. But just to make sure, let me take time to read it, and I'll let you all know. So I just won't just give you any answer. I just let me look at it real close. But I'm almost for certain it's about it wasn't a day that Yah had proclaimed, but it was a fasting day they had proclaimed about what they were going through Babylon. Of course, if you don't know, Jeremiah was a prophet who prophesied that our people will be in Babylon for 70 years. And so, and our people, you know, oftentimes when evil is pronounced on our people, they will call a fast. And today, if evil come to your doors, or some type of calamity, or some type of affliction or destruction, or some great sadness come to your doors, oftentimes our people don't know what to do. You might see them pray, but you will seldom see them do what our fathers did, and our ancient fathers were fast. They were always fast. Today, when somebody dies, it's a custom in this country that after the funeral, most people go and eat. Where our people, they didn't do that. Our people were fast in the time of mourning and in the time of death. And so, a lot of evil was pronounced during that time, but I'm going to study this, look at it real closely, and then I will let you know. Any other questions?
All glory and all praises to the Most High, our power, saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to read Proverbs 21:9, 25, and 4, which is the same thing. It says, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. My question is, scriptures establish scriptures by two or three witnesses. What other scriptures does Yahweh talk about as far as men dealing with women, as far as putting their hands on a woman put their hands on a man? What other scriptures besides these two will establish the precepts on this issue?
All right, lover, brother, Lemuel question. He was basically stating that, of course, according to the scriptures, the Almighty condemns domestic abuse. He condemns men putting their hands on women, pointing out that in the book of Proverbs in two different places, it lets you know that if you are confronted with a falling and contentious woman, it's better for you to be on the roof of a what? House rooftop or housetop. In other words, the Almighty knew. What we also know is that anytime you're confronted with this situation, that you never, ever have to lash out. You can always get away. This is how the Creator felt, and this is also how we feel today. I never seen a situation where a man was just presented. If you can walk away from another man, surely you can walk away from a woman. And so he was saying, he's seen two witnesses. Is there a third witness? And I had to think about it for a minute, but all it takes is two to establish a matter. And it's good that we have those two witnesses so people can understand how important that is. For example, I know you all don't have the Quran in your midst today, and we don't adhere to the teachings of the Quran. But according to the Quran, in the fourth chapter of the Quran, around the 34th verse, it clearly lets you know that a man can beat his woman. In the Quran, it clearly says that. It's nothing that anybody has to teach you, or it actually says it. And so no wonder why in the teachings of Islam, you will have women in a very inferiority state. Whereas in Israel, this is not the case. The Almighty, he exalts the women in Israel. And he exalts them to the level of, and matter of fact, do anybody know what the greatest position women can have in Israel? The greatest position a woman can have in Israel. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. Judge, a prophetess, that's very good. Anyone else? A queen, oh, now that's real good. Well, the greatest position a woman can have in Israel is a wife, just like this sister said. There's nothing greater, there's no greater position than a wife. No greater position than a wife. I heard Lemuel say mother, but you're supposed to be a wife before you become a mother. And surely you can't become a queen until you are what? Of a king. So, but that's the greatest position that a woman. And the first women that was created, she was made to be a what? A wife. To the extent the Creator said it's not good that man should what? So he made him a what? This helpmate became his wife. And you'll find that in the book of Genesis, the second chapter. So we'll think about that third scripture that will, I guess, solidify and close the coffin and nail it in for you. I'm thinking as we... Yes? Yes. What about it? That's in the book of Proverbs, unless... Somebody get that scripture for me in the book of Proverbs. The two scriptures. Yeah, go to Proverbs 21 first, though. Yeah. But go to Proverbs 21 first. Yeah, in the book of Proverbs 21, this is what it says in verse 9.
It reads, "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman."
Yeah. In other words, you can be in the White House, brawling, fighting, fussing, on the rooftop. And the reason why one might say, well, what about the man? What if he brawling in the White House versus the woman? Well, see, is using this as an example, because what happened today is you will have men that say, well, she hit me first, or she started, or she disrespect me, or she talked about my mother, or she did this, or she did that. And they make her responsible. Even if she is responsible and started everything, it's still telling you it's better to what? Yeah, just get out of there. Just get out of there. Get somewhere in the corner. And Yeah, that makes some people more mad than, you know, fighting them. You know. You gonna say something. And what was the other scripture? Proverbs 21 and 19, same chapter. And watch what it says.
It is better to dwell in the wilderness.
And this noun is better to dwell in the wilderness. Go ahead.
Than with a contentious and an angry woman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better to just go where nobody is. See, the wilderness means a place uninhabited. It's like a desert. There's nobody there. Nobody can't stir you up, because a lot of times you go to your friend, man, you let her do that? Man, I ain't letting nobody disrespect me. You going to let her disrespect? Man, that's your house. You the head. You the man. Man, that's how you going out? And next thing you know, you in jail just because your friend. But no, it's better to be in the wilderness where you can take time. You can reflect, you can think about things, you can consider, and you can calm down. And that's what you want to do, Brother Azariah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I was going to give an example or a testimony to that, the dealing with the situation with Abraham's servant and Lot's servant. You see a situation where his servants were with each other, and they said, "Let's not fight. Let's, you know, separate." So you see an example of, you know, y'all servants separating from each other instead of staying together and fighting with each other.
Well, you're absolutely right. A great example of that is Abraham and Lot. Abraham told Lot, he said, let's not have strife between one another. And he said, look, you go left and I'll go right. And if you go right, I'll go left. But let us not have this strife, for we be brethren. And nobody's closer to you than your wife. And so these are great examples on how Israel must conduct themselves, but this is also example on how people should conduct themselves, period. Period. One of our brothers sent us he was just reflecting some things and thinking about some things and meditating, and he said it as he was meditating. This is Brother Mesa, which is our good brother out there in Las Vegas, and he's just reflecting on the fact that we're seven in Cincinnati, we're 7 hours behind Jerusalem. and he thought this was just very significant that it was seven. And I do too. Hallelujah. I mean, I never checked how far in hours we are, but that's good to know. We were dealing with, if there's no other questions, we were dealing with basically two things. We were dealing with the question that Lemuel asked concerning how do we know it's the seventh day? Since we know that the Almighty told us not to follow the ways of the heathen. And he's told us that they would change the laws and the times. And so he wanted to know what time we were in. How do we know what time we are in without a shadow of a doubt? And so we have time. We're going to deal with that a little bit more. But also we were dealing with the token of marriage as well. And one of my other good brothers who listened to us, he shared some very beautiful scriptures with me that I wanted to share with you all on his thoughts on this, which we totally agree with. And imagine if this was done. First one that he wanted us to examine is in the book of Genesis. Genesis, and we're dealing with the signs of marriage. In other words, how do you know somebody married? Today you look on a finger and you see a ring, you assume they're married. If you don't see a ring, you assume you're not married. And sometimes if you're a man and you see a ring, you say, no, you're not. You're just playing. Who is, how long you been? In other words, they don't even believe it half the times. But nevertheless, this is today's way of demonstrating that you are married. And so the main question is predicated out of, are we just following other people's customs? Is this our custom? And I'll share some scriptures with you, but he wanted to lead these scriptures with us that I thought was very profound. One is in Genesis 12, I think it is. Let us turn there. Dealing with the tokens of marriage. And we're going to start at the start at the ninth verse.
Genesis 12, verse 9 reads, and Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive.
So Abram told his wife, he said, when the Egyptians see you, they going to see that you are a fair woman to look upon. So whatever her look was, whatever was going on with this beauty of hers, it was a situation where they said, this woman is, this is his wife. I don't know what that is right now, but it's, that's what it's indicating to me. But continue reading.
Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee.
He did something that you wouldn't even think about doing today, telling your wife Okay, baby, when we go in this place, please tell them that you're my sister. You can't do that today, boy. You, I gotta say that. I mean, to get this job, I gotta get this. I mean, but this job is more important than our marriage. You got to hear it. Whatever the situation, he was doing this because he feared this place. And one might say, well, that's putting me in danger. You're going to put me in danger to save your life? See, a lot of things can come from that. But the only thing that you want to come from that is what Sarah did. And what did she do? She did as her husband said. And why? Because they did something that none of the people did around them. They trusted in who? The Most High. She knew her husband wasn't telling her to do something real vile, even though it was vile in everybody else's eyes, even though it's vile in Israel's eyes when they read this. But she knew her husband was what? She knew he was a prophet. She knew he was a man of Elohim. And watch as we read. Go ahead.
And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her.
In other words, again, they seen that she was very fair. In other words, this is all how beautiful she was. That I know this woman got to be married because she's just too beautiful. Something about this beauty is it's indicating something. Go ahead.
The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake.
In other words, they took this story all the way. I can see, you know, you taking it so far. But they took this story all the way to the bank. Where Pharaoh, this is my sister, this is my brother. And now Pharaoh said, man, here, he started giving Abram all kind of mules and horses and gold and jewelry and just taking care of him. And so they know what's going down. Continue reading.
And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. Yah plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife.
In other words, that's where Yah intervened at, because they trusted in the Most High. And Yah plagued Pharaoh's whole house. And that's a lot of trust. That you know Yah is going to intervene at the right time for the right thing at the right moment. And it was nothing for Abraham, because Abram, the Almighty had told him he would do this. He had already told him. What did he tell Abram in the first two verses? Just hold that verse, but in the same chapter, what did he tell him? Now, the same Elohim, the same Yah that intervened and plagued Pharaoh's house, this is what he told him before he even got to Pharaoh's house. Go ahead.
Now Yah has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
In other words, this thing had to be manifested. The Almighty told him, look at everybody that bless you, I'm going to what? And everybody curse you, I'm going to what? And what was going down? This man was about to take this prophet wife. And what happened?
Verse.
He got cursed quickly. Because the Almighty had already what? Spoke it. And it had to be manifested. It couldn't just be words in the book. It had to be manifested so that what Yah said he would do, he did. He did. Now, go back and continue reading at the 18th verse.
And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this thou hast done unto me? Why did thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why sayest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way.
In other words, the only way Pharaoh knew, he assumed that this was his wife, but then they said otherwise, and so the Almighty intervened, played them, and he knew. And the Almighty told him through this play, through this dream, that this is another man's what? Give her back. Give her back. And this what was done. So how did they know, other than the fact that the Almighty told them that this is another man's wife, did they know Sarah was married? She belonged to someone else. What was it? What was it? That was a big clue. But before the play, yes, ma'am. Well, not on this one. Not this one. Yeah, because this is the first time this happened. And, but we're going to go to that one. We're going to go to that one. And what my beloved brother Elton was saying is that that plague had a lot to do with what Pharaoh, and that is true. But prior to the plague, how did Pharaoh, why would he even assume that this is another man's wife? Because he assumed that. And the only reason he backed up because they said, no, this is my sister. And she said, this is my brother. But hold your thoughts, because we're going to go on. Maybe we're going to get an answer to this. Hold your thoughts for a second and go to Genesis 21. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about the tokens or the signs of marriage. A lot of our brothers don't like that ring thing. And after we finish, y'all might like that ring thing more than what the scripture says. Saying, you know, I don't know, but we're going to see. Genesis 21. Now in Genesis 21, let's start reading at let me make sure it's 21. It's 20. Genesis 20. That's what we want. And let's start at the very first verse.
Genesis 20:1 reads, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah.
In other words, this particular occasion, before was they were in Egypt, and this was Pharaoh. But this is Abimelech in the land of what they call Gerar or Kadesh. And but Abimelech, he, just like Pharaoh of Egypt, questioned Abram, you know, about her, whether she's single or not, whether this is, you know, she's available. You know. And this is what happened.
But Elohim came to Abimelech in a dream by night.
Now this time the Almighty came to him in a dream by night.
And said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Yah, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?
He said, look, would you also slay a righteous nation? We know this much, that you don't mess with another man's wife. We know that. We know, wicked nation. Please, Yah, don't, you know, will you destroy us also? But little do people know, the Almighty, he said that every matter be what? So he had to have a second witness to demonstrate that bless those that bless thee and what? And through all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through who?
Abraham.
Not Christ, not anybody else, but through who?
Abraham.
And watch what it says.
Verse 5, said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. And Elohim said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, suffered I thee not to touch her.
In other words, the Almighty withheld him from touching her. That's because the Almighty had directed all this. And a lot of people don't know certain things happen in your life, and you blaming your husband. See, you done did this thing, and now look at our family, and now look at us, and now this, and now that. Or he blaming his wife. See, you just don't listen, and you just this, and you just that. And y'all forget that the Almighty also works. And you think it's his fault. He think it's your fault. But the Almighty just trying to work wonders in the earth. And he trying to use you. And oftentimes people don't want to be used in that way because everybody just want good. Nobody want bad. Nobody don't want adversity. Nobody don't want to be challenged. All they want is the good, the success. But there is no good without what? Yeah. Matter of fact, the more evil and adversity you get in your life, the more you're going to appreciate good and love it and hold on to it. And watch this. Go ahead.
Now, therefore, restore the man his wife. He is a prophet. He shall pray thee. And thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou surely shalt die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears. And the men were sore afraid.
Yeah, they were sore afraid because of this thing. They knew this man was a prophet. This man was this special. And the Almighty intervened on his behalf. And so this was a great thing. And so, but again, we still left with the question, is the tokens of marriage, how did they even, why did he even go to Abraham and say and talk and discuss and even come to him, is this your wife or why couldn't he assume that it was his daughter? Why couldn't he assume that it was his sister? Why couldn't he assume? But why did he assume that it was his wife, where they had to go through this elaborate thing to let the people, let him know that, no, this is just my sister? Also, Genesis 26, go there. And this was my beloved brother who talked to me about this. This was his point right here that we about to get. And I think this was sister's point as well, which is a very good point. And we're going to start at the sixth verse, Genesis 26 and 6.
It reads, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife.
You notice it didn't say, and the men of this place asked me of this woman. The men of this place asked me of my, yeah, it was like his wife, you know. They assumed that this woman, and now this is Isaac. This is not Abram. Yeah. He seen this. He learned this. He heard stories. He knew what was happening. He knew what was going on. He knew the tricks and the trades and everything. And so now he repeating it. Go ahead.
She is my sister.
And trust me, if he had thought, and if it was passed down to him, that last thing he would have did was repeated his father's mistake. Dad, you did this twice? And then he did it. Go ahead.
For he feared to say, she is my wife. Least says he, the man of the place should kill me for Rebecca, because she was fair to look upon.
Here we go again. She was what?
Fair.
She was beautiful. She was fair. Man, this woman, it's something about this beauty that shows and demonstrates that, my goodness, you married. And what is this thing? Yeah. You married. Oh, no, this is my sister. And see, for Israel now we won't search the scriptures now. You sure? You ain't lying. Because we really want to know now, for real. Go ahead.
And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife.
Yeah, they were sporting together. Not like you see today, you look out the window today, you see them fussing and fighting and arguing, cussing each other out. Somebody running down the street, got a knife behind them, a gun, the police at the door. Man, you're looking out the window. What's going on today? Oh, my goodness. The police there, the fire truck there, everybody there. Because you don't see sporting today. You barely see fighting, not sporting. And sporting is when you playing with your wife. And see, the reason why this is so beautiful, and my brother pointed this out, he was saying, look, this is how we can tell when a woman belonged to a man. You'll see it in his behavior. You'll see it out in public. In other words, you'll see him holding hands. You'll see his hand around her waist and around her shoulders and her arms. You'll see him once in a while give each other a kiss. You'll see him doing things to let you know, oh, man, let me back up. Yeah, I don't even need to see your hand. I don't want to see your hand now because I see you tight with him. Whatever y'all got going, y'all tight. And the only way you be that tight is that you what? And see, the Creator had already told us to be that tight. He told us, he said, when a man leave his father and his mother, he shall do what? And become what? That's how you become. You become one in every way. In other words, your oneness has to demonstrate that you all are not able to be separated. You all are inseparable. And I love couples who, when guy, he get on his shoes, get on his coat, get him walking out the door, she right behind him with her shoes and her coat and her hat. And everywhere he goes, she goes. Because they what? They won. They tight. They tight. You know. It's just today we just falling into some real bad customs. Where today, man, God tell us, man, I'm going to go on shoot some pool with the fellas. I'm going to go on and shoot some hoops with the fellas. I'm going to go on. And next thing you know, it become habit. Well, I mean, you one with the boys instead of one with your wife. Yeah, that's kind of backwards. I thought you're supposed to cleave to your wife, not to your boys. They making you fool? So we kind of got it backwards a little bit. But this is one of the ways you can tell you sporting with one another. You don't just see couples, and every time you see them, she three steps behind them like in Islam, walking behind him. No, you're supposed to be together, and y'all interacting with each other affectionately. Don't believe the hype saying, no, you can't do that in public. Why? That's my wife. That's my husband. Why? No, this is what they did when they looked out the window. Even though he had already lied and said, well, he didn't lie, but he said this was my what? My sister. This is my sister. And no, it wasn't a lie because, right. And see, the thing is, they were blood relatives. They were blood relatives, especially Abram and Sarah. They had the same father. Yeah, they had the same father at that time. You know, of course, we can't marry our sisters today like they were able to do back then, but they were blood relatives. Blood relatives. So my man said, look, one of the signs and tokens of marriages is your affection that you have with your wife. And the scriptures call it cleave unto her. And if you cleave it unto your wife, nobody won't have no mistake. They won't be like, you know. Now, it is true that she can be alone at times. And so there's still some things that you might want to see so you won't be too forward or too insulting to a woman if she belongs to someone else. What are those things? Just to share a couple of scriptures with you. And the Almighty told us this. He told us anytime. Let's read it in the book of Isaiah 51 real quick. Let's read it. We can't read this too much because it's too profound. Isaiah 51. And I told the brother, see, sometimes be careful for what you ask for. And the brother said, look, man, I don't see no rings. Well, let's see what we do see. And maybe, you know, let's see if we agree on this. In the book of Isaiah 51, this is what it says in the first two verses.
Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness.
So if you're not following after righteousness, there's no sense of reading this because it's going to tell you what you do if you're following after righteousness. Go ahead.
Ye that seek Yah.
So if you're seeking Yah on this matter concerning marriage and the signs of marriage and the tokens of marriage, go ahead, or righteousness, period.
Look unto the rock which ye are hewn.
Mm-hmm.
And to the hole of the pit which ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him.
Yeah, so if you want to look to see how you need to live your life, look unto who? Abraham. And who?
Sarah.
And Sarah. We won't go wrong by looking at them. And let's look what the legacy that they left for us, so we can see that we might want to do it and incorporate it into our lives. And watch this, Genesis 24. That's one scripture. Now listen closely to this, sister, since we're looking at Abraham. And why I say the sisters, because you always should have expectations. Always have expectations. And look what it says. We're going to start reading at the 29th verse. And now, mind you, I just want you all, just give you a backdrop on this particular story, because I'm fast forwarding a little bit. Is that Abram sent his top servant out to find a wife for his son. And he sent his servant not only with blessings, he made his servant swear certain things, but he also sent him with some gifts. And let's see what these things were. Now, Genesis 24, and it says, and we're going to start at the 27th verse.
And he said,
and now this is Rebecca telling a story to her brother. Go ahead.
Blessed be Yah Elohim of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, Yah led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto that man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring.
Now watch what Laban seen.
And it came to pass, when he saw the earring.
He seen the earring.
And the bracelets.
And the bracelet. And oftentimes, you'll see earrings. But when you go back, and not every place, but some of the places, when you see the word earring, it actually correctly translates as nose jewels. And so a lot of times people think it's just regular earrings, but no, a lot of these times it'd be nose jewels. Go ahead.
And when it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands.
In other words, she had earrings, she had bracelets.
And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of Yah. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on.
In other words, don't feed me, don't do nothing. I want to make sure that I'm at the right place. This is going to go down, and it's blessed of Yah, and this thing is good. Before I even just get to celebrating. Because this thing for him is real. This is of Yah, and I got to make sure this thing come to pass. And that my master put all this in my hand and put all this on me. I got to make sure this thing is going to come out right before I even go further. And as he told the story, we're going to jump all the way down to the 46th verse.
And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him.
And once he heard that, he knew what to do at that point, because now he know he's at the right family. Mm-hmm. Plus, she did exactly what he prayed to the Most High that she would do, you know, and that would give drink to the camels and feed them and so forth and so on. And watch what he did.
And I put the earring upon her face.
Notice it didn't say it put it on her ear. It put it on her what? On her face. Go ahead.
And the bracelets upon her hands.
And the bracelets upon her hands. And brothers want to put rings on your finger, but they kind of shortchanging y'all a little bit. It's a few pieces of jewelry that y'all ain't. Yeah. And go ahead.
And I bowed down my head and worship Yah and bless Yah Elohim of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son.
And then jump down to the 53rd verse.
And brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things.
See, in other words, I can understand why when they seen Sarah that they said, my goodness, this woman is beautiful. She's beautiful. She's got to be a what? Another man's wife. She's got to be married. All this stuff. I know women, they dress themselves up today and make themselves beautiful today. So it's kind of hard to tell a little bit today. But our fathers, you know, made sure that, look, let me lay claim. Bang, 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 bang. This is mine. This is my jewelry. But they had it on there. And they didn't, yeah, they didn't play. They didn't play. But you know what's real funny? What's real funny is that this is what Abram did. But let me show you what Yah did. Go to the book of Ezekiel 16. hey, look. No, look. They just had to work. That's all. Yeah, you just had to work. And look, it's three things. The scripture says Exodus 21. And we don't have to go there right now, but it said if he took him another word, her food or raiment and her what? Due to your marriage. In other words, raiment. Her look, her dress, all that was just part of the package. That was part of the package, you know, all through the scriptures. And look, Ezekiel 16. And it's funny because that's the last thing the man want to do. He says, hey, don't you got enough shoes, baby? Don't you got enough clothes? I mean, you got clothes, you got shoes. I mean, you don't have enough jewelry. And... No. No, I don't. Really, I don't. Ezekiel 16. First verse, go ahead.
Again, the word of Yah came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith Yah Elohim unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water, to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou was cast out in the open field, to the lowest of thy person, in the day that thou was born.
Yeah, it looked like it's talking about just a city, how this city was nothing. It was nothing. Everybody walked past you, and you was like a little baby, The core wasn't even taken off of you. And it is talking about a city, but it's also talking about something else. And watch what it says.
And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy own blood.
Yeah, because that's how a baby's going to be, polluted in their own blood. In other words, something that's not being taken care of at all. And watch what happens.
I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live, yea. I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the cud of the field.
The bud of the field.
The bud of the field, excuse me. And thou hast increased and waxen great. And thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned. And thine hair is grown, whereas thou was naked and bare.
Now look at you. Now that I done fixed you up, cleaned you up. Now look at you. Look at your breasts now. Look at all that milk. Look at all that everything about you now. And watch what happens.
Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and cover thy nakedness.
And this is what happens when you first meet that one that you, this is the one for me. It's a time of love. You just might, I got to have you, and I want to be yours. And it's a time of love. And you cover the neck because sometimes, you know, women get out there and they trying to get a man. So certain things ain't covered up all the time. But then a man had to come, look, man, I got to cover you up. This is for my eyes only. So let me cover you up a little bit and let me get you straight, you know. But go ahead.
Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith Yah Elohim, and thou camest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk.
People always say, well, what did Israel look like? What did they wear? What did they do? We had the finest of linen. Look, we didn't just eat angels' food. We wore angels' dress, clothes. You know what an angel wore in the scriptures? Yeah, they used to wear linen all day long. All day long, that's what they show up in. And look, it wasn't no accident that Almighty would tell you, the man, it would say, and I'll show y'all, it would say, that was the man clothed in linen. You didn't even know his name, but you knew what he wore. Go ahead.
I decked thee also with ornaments.
I decked thee with ornaments.
And I put bracelets upon thy hands.
I put bracelets upon thy hands.
And a chain on thy neck.
And a chain on thy neck.
And I put a jewel on thy forehead.
I put a jewel in thy forehead.
And earrings in thine ears.
Earrings in thy ears.
And a beautiful crown upon thine head.
In other words, go ahead.
Thus was thou decked with gold and silver.
You were decked out. Ain't that a black person word?
Yep.
No, that's the Almighty's word. I decked you out. Go ahead.
And thy raiment of fine linen.
Your raiment was the fine linen.
And silk.
And silk.
And broidered work.
Broidered work. It wasn't just no plain linen, no plain silk. This was broidered. Go ahead.
Thou did eat fine flour.
And you ate good.
And honey.
And
oil.
Honey and oil.
And thou was exceedingly beautiful.
Exceedingly beautiful.
And thou did prosper into a kingdom.
My goodness. You read this whole thing, but this is how the Almighty decked you out. And when you love something, this is what you would do. You would deck her out. You would deck her out. And they'd be scared to talk to her unless they thought she didn't belong to nobody else. And not only that, show you just a couple more things. Go to the book of Isaiah 61.
14, it says, that next verse where it says, and you're renowned forth among the heathen for your beauty, mm-hmm. for the purposes of my coming, which I took on thee. And you think that the Israelites dressed fancier when the heathen saw them, it was like kind of outstanding to them because it wasn't what they did?
Well, our dress was, I like to term our dress as heavenly. Mm. Heavenly. It's just like our music. That's why in the scriptures, you won't read about all these drums, bongos, and all that. You'll read about these string instruments. And so if you ever listen, and I know you have, you, that's your feel. And you listen to string instruments, how's that going to make you feel? Yeah. You're just like you walking on air. You can just sit there and you floating. Well, that's just like your dress. See, you can wear certain things and it's like it's real hard. And it affects your emotions. It affects your thinking. But not so with fine linen. And, of course, we don't have the linen today yet. But I'm a linen person. I love linen. I know when I'm in linen, I feel,
like you in linen.
Yeah, It's a difference. I can sleep in there, yes, but linen. No, I want to fold that up, put that there. You're a little careful. But no, it's a garment, it's fabric that breathes. It comes from the flax, and the flax mean everything to us. You know, mean everything. So going ours was very unique and different. So when we went amongst the heathen, they knew that this was of the Most High. They knew this. But watch the very next verse after the verse that you said. Read the verse Elder Yael was commenting on, and then read the very next verse. And that's 16 and 14. This is what it says. And I renounce forth, because now you're popular. Now you're renowned among the heathen, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I have put upon thee, said Yah Elohim. But thou didst trust in thy what? And players the harlot because of thy renown, and pours out thy fornications on everyone that's passed by. He is it what? It was. And look, we were so backwards, the Creator said, because of our beauty. He said, whereas a harlot is supposed to be paid for her services, we was a harlot, and we paid them. This is how backwards we became. And that's because we were so noticed by everybody else. The Creator said we played the whore to everybody that came by, and his it was. In other words, if they wanted us, they got us. It's just like the brother came in here and said, look, what about Kwanzaa? If they wanted us, Kwanzaa had us. If Easter wanted us, Easter had us. If Christmas wanted us, Christmas had us. It didn't matter what holiday, what pagan ritual. Today they got people, when they die, they go light candles, and they put a little altar, and they praying. They do it on the street, and they do it under a tree. They do it on the bridge. They do it on the highway. They do it in and everywhere, not realizing this is what the pagans would do. This is how they would act. This is how they would conduct themselves. And monkey see, now that's what we would do. That's what we would do. And so, and that's why the Almighty said, I love this verse. I want to see, read that again, that 15th verse. No, the 15th verse.
But thou did trust in thy own beauty, and played the harlot because of thy renown, and poured out thy fornications on everyone that passed by.
Everyone that passed by, and watch what it says after that.
His it was.
His it was. If he wanted it, he got you. That's how we were. And all the beautiful stuff Yah gave us, we gave to what? Yeah, we gave it to them. He decked us out, and we started decking the deities out. False gods that can't even deck themselves, can't save nobody, can't tell you nothing, can't command you, can't cry, can't tell you to sing a song. All through the scriptures, the Almighty says, sing me a new song. They can, deity can't. That's why you'll read the New Testament. You'll never read in the New Testament where Christ or anyone else says, sing me a song, other than a man. But all through the scriptures, the Almighty telling you to sing to him. He's telling you to sing. Matter of fact, he was so detailed, he told you how to sing to him, what to sing to him, what instrument. I don't know. That's why David and a lot of the songs, they said, come before Yah with harps with 10 strings, you know. They tell you that, you know, in the timbrel, in the psaltery. So he knew what he wanted to hear. He didn't just, you know, wasn't no deity, and you can just Because if he loved it, it would have been here. He would have left it for us to do it. But that's not his way. Now, I'm not criticizing people who do it. You know, they just got it from the Africans. That's all. That's what they do. You know, they hit beats for war. They hear beats for rejoicing. They hear beats for dancing. They hear beats for all kind of things. How to call the children in and all that. And they boom, boom, and they hear sounds and beats for that. But not so with Israel. We hear what you call trumpets. And we blew horns. And we played on strings. This was the way of Yah. So that's what our difference was. Isaiah 61. That's why the Creator continually telling, follow not the ways of the what? Yeah. Just imagine if we was dressing like the angels in linen, everybody in linen, just everybody be light on their feet. Now we dress like, yeah, everybody else. There's no difference between us and them. And then we walk around because we got on African garments like we Africans. And no, we're not Africans. We just inherit that just like everybody else. Monkey see. But when we see the truth, for some reason, we just don't. We reject that. Isaiah 61, the 10th verse.
Isaiah 61 and 10 reads, I will greatly rejoice in Yah. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
In other words, because that's what a bride's supposed to have. That bride gonna come, and she about to get married, and she naked. Ain't nothing on her neck. Ain't nothing in her ears. Ain't nothing in her nose. I mean, she just naked. Don't have nothing. No, man, we decked a bride out. We decked her out. This is just part of the process. That's all. Part of the process. And we have to learn the process because the scriptures say there's going to come a time. I had to show y'all this scripture. The process is the various customs. This scripture, right before I show you why this is so important, Jeremiah, the second chapter, Jeremiah 2. At the 9th verse, 29th verse, I'm sorry. Jeremiah 2 and 29.
It reads, wherefore will you plead with me?
Why would you plead with me? Says Yah. Go ahead.
Ye all have transgressed against me, saith Yah.
In other words, none of y'all had no real reason where y'all can stand up, you know, with me, because y'all all have transgressed in me. That's why an Israelite pointing his finger at another Israelite, that's the most, that don't make no kind of sense. Because we all have transgressed against him. Go ahead.
In vain have I smitten your children.
It's almost as if it's just don't even mean nothing that I smitten your children.
They receive no correction.
Because they're not corrected by it.
Your own sword have devoured your prophets like a destroying lion.
Yeah, in other words, the prophets is not being destroyed by your enemies. They've been being destroyed by their own people. Go ahead.
O generation, see ye the words of Yah.
That's what I want you to see. See ye the word of Yah.
Have I been a wilderness unto Israel?
In other words, was I just this big desert where there was nothing?
A land of darkness.
A land of darkness where you can't see nothing.
Wherefore say my people, we are masters. We will come no more unto them.
That's what they saying. That's what people saying today. In other words, is what they believe. It's what they think. It's the imagination of their own heart. Well, I don't see it like that. You know, regardless if this man sent by the Most High or not, regardless if the Almighty raised someone up or not, well, I don't see it like that. Well, I see that different. Well, I believe different. Well, I, you know, that's not in my book. Regardless of the truth. But look what the Creator said.
Can a maid forget her ornaments?
Can a maid? What is a maid? A maid is a what? A virgin about to get married. Can a maid forget her ornaments?
Or a bride her attire?
A bride her attire? What kind of... A bride on her way is not about to forget. You know, the most important day, and she forget, oh my goodness, I forgot to put on my stuff. No, that's not going to happen. Go ahead. Well, yet, will it? Go ahead.
Yet my people have forgotten me days without number.
You won't forget that dress. You won't forget them ankle bracelets. You won't forget them bracelets on your arms and your hands and then your nose and then your ears and that gold chain on your neck. But my people have forgotten me days without what? Without even, you can't even count the number of days that y'all forgot me. And I'm more important than any piece of jewelry that you have. And this is what we have to know. Again, once we return unto Yah, the Almighty says, seek ye the what path? Wherein the good way was and is. And walk therein, and you shall find what? Rest for your souls. And this is how we get rest. We go back. See, most people to look forward. But us, we're told to look back. And you always want you want to look back because that's the only thing that's going to teach you how to move forward. Because if all day long you're looking forward, don't worry about the past. Don't look back. Forget that. Just look forward. Just go forward. Next thing you know, as soon as you go forward, you run into the same mistakes that they done did. And they the one told you to look what? Forward. I look forward and I see this big wall. And all they can say is, well, you should have listened to me. But you told me to look forward. No, you got to look back. And once you know the stories and history and the pitfalls of life, then you say, my goodness, now I can walk. I can see some things. I can move forward now. Because I see these pitfalls. And as soon as they come, and as soon as they rear their ugly head, you say, oh, man, I've seen this before. I've seen this in the past. Well, you ain't that old. Yeah, but my daddy was. And he told me exactly what this was all about. He told me this would come. He told me this would come right up and get me. But it ain't going to get me. I'm about to go right around this sucker because I can see. I can see. And this is how you begin to love your wife. You got to love your wife like Yah love you. He's the example. And all his servants, he put this right into their hand. See, when you cleave unto something, the Almighty told us to cleave unto him. The only reason we've forgotten the Most High because we what? We didn't cleave. We didn't cleave. When you cleave to something, that's like white on rice, inseparable. You can't take that white off that rice. You can't take that brown off whatever it's stuck to. And this is how we have to become. Any questions or comments on that before we move on? And then we got a couple more scriptures before we adjourn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Him out of Yah. Any other questions or comments? We come from a great history, a great people, and the only way that we will ultimately rise to the greatness of the legacy that we come from, because we come from a great legacy. And the only way we can show true honor to it is that we exemplify the legacy that we come from. The Almighty told us that, He said, I've separated you from how many nations? All the nations. We're separated from everybody. And it's easy to see something different because we see what everybody else is doing. And all you got to do is be the unique people that you are. And that is just keeping the ways of the Most High. And keeping His ways is not grievous. It's not hard. Just like the New Testament might teach. It don't put one down just to lift the other one up like the Quran teach. It does none of these things. When we rise, our women rise. When our women rise, the men rise. Because we're supposed to be what? We're supposed to be one. We're supposed to be one. And just a couple more scriptures. I was looking up these scriptures, and I think I told you all to look them up also. And I've seen this three different places. One is in the book of Hosea, the sixth chapter. Just three more scriptures. And it's going to be Hosea 6, Hosea 10, and Joel 2. But Hosea 6 first. In the book of Hosea, the sixth chapter, and I want you to read the first three verses.
Hosea 6 and 1 reads, "Come, and let us return unto Yahweh, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us, and in the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight."
And this will happen. This is the thing that will happen, where we are torn, we are smitten, but the Almighty said He will heal us. And He will bind us up. And He said after 2 days, He will revive us. In other words, we got to be woke up. We got to be woke up to and realize certain truths. And after He revive us, then it said what?
And then the third day, He will raise us up.
And then the third day, He's going to raise us up.
And we shall live in His sight.
And we're going to live in His sight, because at that time, now, we're able to live in His sight, because now we've revived. We've been woke up. We've been woke up to the ultimate truth that He's been trying to convey to us, which is His righteousness. And this is how we know it's His righteousness, the third verse.
Then shall we know.
Then shall we know.
If we follow one on to know Yah.
If we follow on to know Yah, because we're still going to have a choice. Go ahead.
His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain.
He's going to come unto us as the rain. Now, think about this rain. He's going to come to us as the rain. Go ahead.
As the latter and former rain unto the earth.
He's going to come unto us as the rain. As the latter and former rain unto the earth. And little do people know, this rain that the Creator is speaking of, this latter and this former rain that He said He's going to come to us like this. This rain is actually His righteousness. Not just His righteousness, the Creator is talking about His righteous teacher. because it's going to come down just like the rain. See, when the rain comes, there's no warning. It just comes. You can smell it, yes. You can, it's getting dark now, and you can, you know, feel that, okay, it's about to rain. But once it comes, it just what? It just happens. It just comes, you know. And typically, when it comes at the very right time. Even though some people say, man, why it's raining? But it always comes at the right time. And this right time is the time where the Almighty is talking about raining down his righteousness. And this righteousness will come through his service. You also see this in Hosea, the 10th chapter. Turn there. It is in the 12th verse.
Hosea 10 and 12 reads, sow to yourselves in righteousness.
Yeah, sow to yourselves in righteousness. When you sowing, are you doing what? You planting. Yeah. Go ahead.
Reap in mercy.
Because that's what you're going to get when you sow righteousness. You're going to reap mercy. Go ahead.
Break up your fallow ground.
Which is that stiff and stony heart you got.
For it is time to seek Yah, till he come and rain righteousness upon you.
Till he come rain righteousness upon you. And again, this righteousness that the Almighty is talking about raining upon our people, actually, when you look up this word rain, it is a teacher or teachings. Of course, the last place I've seen this at in the scriptures in the book of Joel, the second chapter. Now, for some people, this will be hard because the last thing our people want to do is listen to a what? A man. I don't got to listen to a man. I know better than you. I know as much as you. So this scripture won't mean nothing to them. A righteous teacher coming to teach righteousness. And the Creator said, he is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. So he will magnify the law and make it what? That's how well pleased he is concerning his righteousness. In the book of Joel, the second chapter, and we're going to read the 23rd verse and watch what it says.
Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in Yah your Elohim, for he have given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain.
Rain.
The former rain.
The former rain.
And the latter rain.
And the latter rain.
In the first month.
Yeah, and little do people know that the way they translate this stuff, it'll have you all confused and off, but in truth, when it says, be glad, ye children of Zion, rejoice in Yah, your Elohim, for he hath given you the rain moderately. In Hebrew, it actually says, he's given you a righteous teacher. That's what it would say. And he will cause to come down for you the rain. And then when it says the former rain and the latter rain, it still go back to a righteous teacher. Somebody who's going to lead you into righteousness. And why? Because did not he say, look unto Abraham, all those that follow after what? Righteousness. And if you're following after righteousness, and everything is about righteousness, because everything is about righteousness. The Almighty said, My salvation is near to come, and my righteousness is to be revealed. And so there are certain revelations that we have to have about Yah's righteousness. And where do it start? Where do his righteousness start? Where does it start at home? That's why he said, look unto Abraham and Sarah that bear you. See, it starts at home. It starts with the parents. It starts with what you're supposed to do right there in your house. It starts with marriage. It starts with raising your family and giving them the righteous orders and precepts that they have to take into the world. That's where it starts. It starts with being a man to take care of his family, letting everybody know that they are well taken care of. And you know when they're taken care of. The scriptures tell you when they're taken care of. And you know when that is? When you see them rejoicing. When you see the family rejoicing. When you see the family happy. I said that's the last scripture, but this really is the last scripture. And this is in 2 Samuel, I think it is. And look, Creator told us to look to Abraham and Sarah, which boys, right? The only other person the Almighty said, he said, this man right here, he said this was a man after his own what? Heart. And watch what he said about him. In 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, the first verse. Now we should be able to understand this thing and why the Almighty characterized righteousness and this righteous teacher with rain. Watch what it says.
Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the Elohim of Yaakov, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said.
Now, all the things he can say, that's what he chose to say. His last words, go ahead.
The Spirit of Yah spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The Elohim of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Elohim.
Yeah, they must be just. And they have to rule in the fear of Elohim. And if you don't know how it looked, it's going to describe what the fear of Elohim looked like. Go ahead.
And he shall be as the light of the morning.
You ever seen the light in the morning? Watch this.
When the sun rises.
And you see that sun coming up?
Even a morning without clouds.
And there's no clouds in the sky.
As the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain.
After rain. In other words, the dew on the ground, no clouds in the sky, sun coming up. Who going to be mad at that? But the wicked. See, the wicked be mad at that. Man, close their shades. Man, there's too much sunlight. See, the wicked, they don't like to see that. But the righteous man, let me see the sun. Man, let me see the glory of Yah. But that's how one's supposed to feel every single day. Yes, go ahead, Elder.
The sun shines, like you said, at this rise and the dew of the grass look like gold.
Yes, 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 yes. Beautiful, yeah. Talking about Christmas. Christmas don't have nothing on this. Nothing on this. Nothing on this. They gonna bring this little decorated tree in, and look, they bring us a decorated tree in the winter where the trees don't have nothing on it. This evergreen, what they call it, some evergreen. No, give me the sun, give me the morning, give me the light, give me this dew, and I take it from there. And that's the fear of Elohim. That's how we should be ruling. When people, all they can do is rejoice. And they glad about what they have because they know they have something good. And they know it ain't nothing better. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty
Yah. Yah's righteous.
Yah's
holy.
Holy.
Any other comments before we adjourn? Yes, sir.
We're giving all praises to the Most High by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That was an excellent lesson that you taught, Elder. I really enjoyed it. And what's profound about the testimony that you brought out in Genesis, it said that the wives, Rebecca, she received nose jewels. She received bracelets, necklaces. And the Most High already said in his law, let every matter be established by two or more witnesses. So it's not just a wedding ring. Now you're like, okay, I got this bracelet. I got this necklace. I got this nose jewels. You can't tell yet. It's established.
In other words, you decked out. You decked out. You know. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. We had someone on Law Talk. Go ahead. Shalom, you're on the air.
Praise the mighty Yah. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, you're on the air.
Shabbat shalom, this is Hashum.
Brother Hashum, look like
Shabbat
your phone number.
Shabbat shalom, praise the mighty Yah.
You might be on mute because we can't hear you. All right. So maybe
Shabbat
you did it by accident. Any other questions or comments? No other questions, no other comments. Well, hallelujah. And you make sure you, Brother Elton, you make sure you leave your number for us because we got some old videos and you might can help us. All right? Hallelujah. Yeah. All right, we had a couple more. Shalom, you on the air?
Yes, I was trying to.
Shalom.
Get on the air for Papa. This is Yatman. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
336 number.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
All right. Well, let us rise. All right. And sorry we weren't able to get y'all on Blog Talk. We did try to come to you all. But let us praise the Almighty Yah as before the Sabbath is over, as our custom, according to the laws of the Most High. Almighty Yah, once again, our servants humbly come before thee on this glorious, honorable, and great day, even before the Shabbat come to a close, before the light come to an end. We thank you, Almighty Yah, for the continued goodness and the kindness, the mercy, the love that thou has even bestowed upon us. Almighty Yah, truly, Almighty Yah, there is no Elohim but thee. There is none beside thee. There is none likened unto thee, and there is none that can be compared unto thee. For thee alone, Almighty Yah, have chose us. Not for anything in us, not for our righteousness, but you chose us that you might keep the oath and the covenant that thou hast made with our fathers Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, that you even named ourselves after thee. We pray, Almighty Yah, that you will continue to be with us, continue to lead and guide us, continue to order our steps, allow thy spirit to be in our heart, our mind, even in our mouth, that we might continuously meditate in our ways, speak thy truth, and walk righteously before thee. We pray, Almighty Yah, that you will continue to be with all those that are sick and wounded. Be with all the widows and the fatherless. Be with all those, Almighty Yah, even a stranger. And we pray, Almighty Yah, for those, Almighty Yah, that don't know thee yet. But we know, Almighty Yah, thy spirit, and according to thy will and according to thy word, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear thy great name. We pray, Almighty Yah, that you will continue to strengthen us in these last days. And truly, Almighty Yah, we pray that you will take us home. Please forgive us for all our sins and transgressions, for we love thee with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. For truly, Almighty Yah, we love you, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you, and we worship you from this time forth and forevermore by saying hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous and Yah is holy. Shema Yisrael. Yah Eloheinu. Yah Echad. Hear, O Israel. Yah Eloheinu. Yahweh is one. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous and Yah is holy. Amen. And to all those that are listening by the way of internet, Blog Talk, I love you and so do I. Shabbat Shalom.